Things off with our pals from Talk Radio News, Luke Vargas, who covers Washington and the UN, of course. Luke, Syria is what everybody's talking about. I say it every single night on the show, and there's been a lot of wild opinions from the people who listen to America Tonight. But the question everybody wants to know is, what's the president ultimately going to do? And finally, he spoke up about Syria. What did he have to say, and what do you make of it?
He was on PBS, prime time tonight, saying essentially that the U.S. had trusted that the United Nations, Security Council would allow a draft resolution from the United Kingdom today, to be approved, would allow the United Nations to do its role. He's using a lot of rhetoric here, trying to summon the U.N. to action. And essentially, on both sides of the Atlantic today, at the U.N. in New York and in the British Parliament, there were two, essentially roadblocks encountered by the UK as it tried to get authorization, a legal mandate to do some sort of military strike in Syria. At the UN, the UK came today with the draft text, but before long, a meeting of the P5, so we keep reducing the number of countries who have influence in the decision here. It goes from the Security Council of 15 to a P5 meeting. Pretty quickly, we realized that China and Russia won't be coming along, so it becomes a P3 sort of alliance here. You could call this a failure of the UN to some extent, the fact that it is institutionalized impasse almost, at least that's how it seems like the State Department treats the United Nations. But at the same time, we look like we're going to have a four-day delay. Ban Ki-moon said this morning he wants four more days for chemical teams in Damascus to do their work properly. And it looks like that will probably, realistically stop the military brass of at least 10 nations from pulling the trigger. And given where I've seen public opinion in opposition to this conflict, I can only think that it doesn't really hurt too many people to wait 4 days. Maybe bring a number of people around the world around to the need to do something in Syria. And the military can keep its plans on hold without too many people being affected. And that's what it looks like is going to happen.
Is there any concern for the for what's going on with the UN, inspectors, the nuclear inspectors? Well, they're not nuclear inspectors. I guess they are, right? Wouldn't you call them officially? That's because they're weapons inspectors.
This is a team that was specifically put together and headed by a chemical weapons expert, not a nuclear weapons expert. I think they probably have some crossover training on that one. But these guys are there for more traditional chemical weapons.
So the team that's over there, they were one of the cars in the convoy they were in was shot at. Are they got to be concerned about sniper fire?
Absolutely. This is a question I was concerned about. I actually asked at the briefing yesterday whether or not they have a guarantee from the outside government they can have safe transport to the airport at any time they may need it. So I know we're talking a lot about access to different sites within Damascus, but I really thought it was important to get a straight answer as to whether they can leave on a moment's notice if the warfare really kicks up. This could be a lot worse than sniper fire, and they are at the very center of a city that is probably going to be targeted at a number of locations by the United States in a few days. The U.S. military, will do everything it can not to involve the United Nations team there in any sort of strike. That's not at stake here, but it is interesting the extent to which this team is at the mercy of the Assad government. We can say they're being used as a pawn, maybe, to delay action here, but whether they become physical pawns is actually of concern to me, and I think probably other people here. We'll see how they're evacuated out this weekend, presumably, if there is a strike.
All right, one last one. How about the U.S. ambassador to the U.N.? Boy, lots of criticism leveled her way. How did she handle that, and was there any explanations for the fact that she was missing in action, so to speak, when really they needed her when a lot of this started to come to a crescendo the other week?
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, it's a convenient timing for the U.S. to retreat from the UN with the with a new ambassador there, with her going on a pre-planned personal vacation to Ireland. Most of the, you know, the real decisions that are being made by the U.S. at this point have shifted from New York to Washington. The amount of activity from the American office here in New York has really come, you know, it's become quite quiet recently. I think the State Department is pulling the levers on this, and Samantha Power is apparently in video conferences with the national security team at all times. So I think Washington is taking over here, and the U.S. is sort of backed off. But they'll support the U.K. and some of the resolutions they want to put forth. But until at least the weekend, the upcoming weekend, when I think there may be some sort of draft resolution put forth by the U.S. to get one final no vote from Russia before pulling the trigger, it's been very quiet at Samantha Power's office here in New York.
All right, Luke Vargas, Talk Radio News. I want to slip in a little secret. I know that you're at the U.S. Open. I'm so jealous. And, folks, you've heard me broadcasting before from the U.S. Open. So he's there in between the raindrops to check out the tennis, right?
Well, on my cover, yes. I haven't seen any tennis yet, but I will be shortly.
Very nice. Luke, thanks so much.
Hey, great talking to you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, coming up the rest of this hour here on America Tonight, big news from a courtroom, a military courtroom anyway, Fort Hood, Texas. Nedel Hassan finally sentenced, I think, with the right sentence. In fact, I was kind of surprised. I wasn't sure they would go this way. We're going to talk about that. I'll tell you what that's about. And in the meantime, also, we're going to talk a little bit more about the significance of Martin Luther King, because this would be the day that the March on Washington, I Had a Dream, and whatnot, 50 years. So throughout the show, we'll weave some of that in, too, as well. And then what I think is the sweetest story about a couple married 65 years, dying on the same day. This is something that happened in my family, and it was really a strange thing that happened, but it is similar to this couple's story where they had been married for a very, very long time. In fact, more than 65 years. And I think there is something to actually dying of a broken heart. I wonder how many people listening to me know some kind of a similar story where somebody died and their loved one died really soon afterwards. I used to think that that was just a myth, that how do you die of a broken heart? I understand a heavy heart and upset and grieving and all of that, but I really think there is something to it. And naturally, as we started off with Luke, more on what's happening in Syria, it's, as you can tell by what he was talking about, we were talking about, it's a waiting game to see what goes on with the UN. Coming up later in the show, we'll talk with Andrew Szabo as we peel back the onion and look a little bit deeper into that. Also, workplace problems, that now there are some places that are asking employees to greet somebody when they're within 5 feet of them, and also a no venting rule. How many people have worked someplace where they had a no venting rule? How does that work out? Anyway, lots to get to on this show. On the flip side, Hassan, the sentence, your reaction, my reaction, next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
From Fort Hood, Texas, and a decision from the military jury was recommending the death penalty for Major Nadal Hassan. To re-rack your memory in case you've forgotten, he was, and I don't know how, but he was the guy who killed 13 people and wounded 32 others on that base. It was shocking, it was heinous, it was sad. You name the emotion, the adjective, and you could stamp it right on this. And to me, I think so often, and I don't know why this is, but so often we forget about the victims and the sad stories of the people that he massacred, people who were going to war, people who were putting their lives on the line and sacrificing it all. This army psychiatrist who had red flags that were dancing around his head, and nobody had the guts to turn him in, to say something's wrong, to do something, and then it leads to ultimately the worst thing you can imagine. So he's going to be transferred to death row in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. There's five others that are on death row, and he'll be there too. The President of the United States would have to sign the death warrant. The execution would take place at a federal correction spot in Terre Haute, Indiana. And this is a guy who was American-born. His family were Palestinians. That's where they were from. And when they read the sentence, he just looked at the judge but had no reaction. There was no outburst either from family members that were in the courtroom. They were holding hands by some of the descriptions I was able to gather, right? And there were some embraces, and there was a few smiles from some of the family members. And then there were some that there were reporters outside of the proceedings, and the few of them got to talk to the reporters. So that's what I wanted to hear. And there was one, Gail Hunt. She's the mother of J.D. Hunt. And she said, Nadel Hassan is a coward and an unrepentant murderer. She said, let's focus on the wounded and the victims' families, bravo, including the memory of her son. She said, he was a kind and thoughtful person. Then there was Carrie Cahill, who said, the best thing for that man is to be forgotten. And she was the daughter of Michael Cahill, the only civilian, sadly, killed in the attacks. He was 62 years old. She said that the family had met over the weekend as this was all wrapping up, and they were sharing memories, and it was very painful. And she said, you know, we're a family and we're surviving, but it's tough. Then I happened to see this on Piers Morgan. There was Army Staff Sergeant Alonzo Lunsford, who survived the attack. He was shot 7 times. And he said he wants to see this sentence carried out as soon as possible. Kill him. He wants to see him die. He said, I definitely do not want him to just sit and wait and die of old age. He said that the post-traumatic stress syndrome has been the worst of his injuries. He's on high alert, even around his family. He's jumpy. He's nervous. He's uncomfortable. He said his kids can't come up behind him and just say anything because it freaks him out. His wife tries to console him. He has massive nightmares. And anybody who touches him when he sleeps, he just starts to kick them, and it's just a constant nightmare. So it's really been 4 years, a four-year process that has pushed people to the limits. Because the emotions you feel when you are a survivor, can you imagine? There, I just gave you a couple of things that family members said, what that must be like. Hopefully, everybody listened to me. I hope none of you ever experience anything like that. The Army prosecutor, one of them anyway, earlier in the week, summarized the case, offering a couple of those stories, those vignettes. As I said, why do we never think about the victims? This prosecutor was smart. He brought it home. He talked about that. He talked about all 13 of them. And he was pushing and urging to ignore what Hassan's statement said earlier, that he was willing to die in custody as a martyr for his faith, because there was some concern, since he threw that out there, that poison dart, that if you were on the panel and you had to decide, you wanted no parts with making this creep a martyr. So, I think Colonel Michael Mulligan said it best. He'll never be a martyr because he has nothing to give. He's a criminal, a cold-blooded murderer. He is not giving his life. We are taking his life. And he threw this in, too, as well, for people who want to try to twist the narrative around. He said you should not punish him for his religion. You should punish him for his crimes. And that's the thing. You have had fathers, mothers, widows, I mean, just terrible things. That now these people, that's it. Because as we all know, the story ends in a way, except for the memories of keeping someone alive, ends when somebody dies. I mean, that's it. So all those unrealized dreams, including children and future children. And I love that he showed the photos of the people who were killed when he was doing the closing. Love it. Because that's really what this was about. It was about the people. It wasn't he screamed Allah Akbar, he was radicalized, he was whatever. Except for to me. But this was brought up during the trial proceedings. That there were so many flags, as I call them, the red flags, dancing around all over in the room, and nobody had the guts to do anything about it. Nobody said anything, but they knew it. Or they ignored it. Could those lives have been spared? Somebody's floating around with that on their head. Somebody's carrying that around in their back pocket. So the good news is, I think, is that he got death. This is why I think I'm a believer in the death penalty, because in these situations, yeah, it's a weird thing to cheer for, but yes, absolutely. Because you can't put a price and anything on what happened to those families. As I said, those unrealized dreams and memories and everything else that were stolen, that were robbed from those people who were at Fort Hood, by the way, some of them to be deployed, helping, doing whatever they were doing, and he shattered their lives. And they had, unfortunately, bad timing. If they hadn't been there, that wouldn't have happened. They were doing what they were supposed to do. They were there for a reason. And it's so crazy, too, as what he was and the schooling he went through. You think about this. This guy was a doctor. He was a doctor. But in November of 2009, he decides to go and shoot all those people. And it could have, the carnage was terrible, but it could have even been worse. Could have been worse. So people preparing to be deployed, who were already emotional, I'm certain about it. And then this happens. There was Lieutenant Colonel Juanita Warman, shot four times. She knew she was dying from internal bleeding. She had just a few minutes to pass on one final message. And you know what she said to somebody in the room? Tell my family I love them. She was 55 years old. 55. The widow of Jason Hunt said, grief is a personal emotion, absolutely. And she said her grief was so bad that she felt like she didn't want to live. She said she felt the grip of suicide. Why? One, because the shock, the horror, the missing her husband, and raising three kids by herself now. Unbelievable. In a wheelchair, Hassan going through the process, and at one point talking about the prosecution and indicating that he wanted his service record, his lack of a previous criminal record, and his psychological evaluation kept under wraps. So sad. So outrageous. But the brilliance is that finally he gets his due. And perhaps there is a tiny bit of peace for those victims' families. If you want to weigh in on that, you certainly can. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. 50 years ago, Martin Luther King Jr. remembering when. Stay with us.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending you're
It's all about Martin Luther King Jr. and I Have a Dream. There were all kinds of celebrations to recognize Martin Luther King's words and what they meant and what we've done as a nation in a positive sense, how far we've come. As much as we can talk about things that haven't been so great, there have been many, many things that have happened that have changed. And, of course, I think there's sort of a backlash or an undercurrent of trying to keep the race baiting and charges of racism in many cases alive where there really isn't any. And a lot of people reacted, a lot of people of note reacted far and wide to 50 years, because 50 is such a milestone, including the president who talked about the March on Washington, Bill Clinton, who talked about what we have now, Caroline Kennedy as well, and we'll let you hear what they all had to say. Here they are.
They assembled here in our nation's capital, under the shadow of the great emancipator, to offer testimony of injustice, to petition their government for redress, and to awaken America's long slumbering conscience.
Martin Luther King did not live and die to hear his heirs whine about political gridlock. It is time to stop complaining and put our shoulders against the stubborn gates holding the American people back.
50 years ago, our parents and grandparents marched for jobs and freedom. We have suffered and sacrificed too much to let their dream become a memory.
Yeah, boy, that is Caroline Kennedy there, and so well said. I mean, how about moving forward? Wouldn't Martin Luther King Jr. say, get on with it now and move forward and let's show people what America can do, for goodness sakes? 50 years is such a long, long time. You know where I could really feel personally the impact of Martin Luther King Jr.? I talked about in school, I liked history, and I learned about Martin Luther King early on. I was in the second grade, I mentioned this before, where we first heard the I Had a Dream speech. But I'll tell you what's really wild is seeing, and even though there was so much controversy around it and whatnot, but once it was built and what, now that it's done and whatnot, I had that chance when I was in Washington a couple of years ago to see the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, and it's something to see. Like I said, as much as people can complain about little things about the statue, it gives you, and where it's located, kind of in the shadows, if you will, across from Abraham Lincoln, you know, across from the Lincoln Memorial. There's just something about seeing it that brings it, that the statue, which is so tall and whatnot, brings him and I think brings those words to life. And all over the statue, there are the quotes from what he said in the I Have the Dream speech and some other things that he said as well. It's the West Potomac Park is where it is, and it's just southwest. I'm trying to give you a sense of that if you haven't seen it, of the National Mall, and it's just a large, it's such a large statue. And he just looms there in a pose where he almost looks to me lifelike. And there is, I don't know, there is something about that, that finally, okay, here we go. And what is the significance of Martin Luther King Jr.? And they had been planning this, as typical. They had been planning this for 2 decades. Got the money together, did the fundraising, and got the construction and all of that. And remember, this didn't happen until August of 2011, so that's just a couple of years ago. And it was on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963 that he delivered the speech. And so to see him in that spot and to have that memorial near the National Mall and to be only the fourth non-president to have any kind of a memorial in that kind of way, I think really says something about Martin Luther King Jr., who was taken way too soon, who is an iconic figure and really should be an iconic figure for what he was trying to do with civil rights at the time. But he's not recognized just here in the United States. He's recognized around the world, too, as well. As somebody who inspires, I think, nonviolence, even though there was violent things that happened around him. And by the time of his death, he was really focusing more. He wasn't pounding so much the civil rights thing. Not that he wasn't there to help and pick away at it, but he was working to help poor people. I mean, all kinds of white and black and any poor people. And also he was working on the Vietnam War and opening the eyes of people to what now was happening as things had deteriorated by that time as far as Vietnam was concerned. And I think there is, if you go to Washington, there is something about seeing that chapel that you really feel it. You really get the sense, I think, of Martin Luther King Jr. and his impact, too, as well. It's just such a, it's a space that's peaceful. And certainly not peaceful when there's throngs of people around it, but maybe because I was there at night and there wasn't lots and lots of people around it, and just a backdrop of the Lincoln Memorial and the Tidal Basin is there and the Jefferson Memorial and, you know, the location to me is so key. And more people who don't know who Martin Luther King Jr. is, the future kids, the millennial, well, less than the millennials, younger than the millennials, who can go and read on the Stone of Hope, because that's what they call it, the Stone of Hope, that, you know, there are quotes from his speeches, the I Have a Dream speech, and the Out of the Mountain of Despair, a Stone of Hope, and that quotation is there, and another part that reads, I was a drum major for justice, peace, and righteousness, and things that are paraphrased, longer quotes, shorter quotes, and getting, like I said, a real sense of the impact of Martin Luther King Jr. So 50 years is a long time. It's a very long time. Thinking about it, it's hard to believe that, in fact, it's been that long, and it shows you how we mark time, and this is a great way to see that. And looking at the memorial is, to me, a positive thing. When so many people want to go back and look at Martin Luther King Jr.'s life, and they want to say and pound into the ground. In fact, some people who stand behind the equal rights and civil rights movements and are, to me, nothing more than baggage carriers for keeping us bent on being a nation that uses excuses and things that happened in the past to keep pushing them up forward instead of, you know, bringing them up instead of pushing forward and moving into the future, trying to resolve conflicts, often sometimes where there doesn't have to be conflicts, but it's to the benefit of somebody else to invent those conflicts or use them as a, you know, use them as a crutch, unfortunately. So I Have a Dream. He certainly had a dream, and his dream impacted the lives in a very positive way of so many people. You think about the time. You think about the time and how many people were there to hear it, because they needed to hear that for a myriad of reasons of whatever was going on in their life. It was a culturally historic moment, one of the biggest, I think, of the 20th century. And you had several hundred thousand people that were there at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. And the people were clapping and waving and wanted to drink up what he was serving up, and he delivered a tremendous speech that had a very big impact on so many people who came from all over the United States and took Martin Luther King Jr.'s words back home with them. Because remember, they were fresh words. It was new. Now we hear that speech and we see those quotes all over. But then, this was new. This was at a very, very different time. And those words still really hold up. All right, we're bringing it back around, back to another conflict. That would be Syria, tying up this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, next on ATN.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. MedKits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th. A weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Available only at hempusa.org. It's the first aid stick, and it's a must-have in any medical kit. With fast, chemical-free healing, the first aid stick stops bleeding, kills bacteria, is great for acne, insect bites, minor cuts and abrasions, will last for years, and is just $11.95. Everyone needs the first aid stick in their emergency kit. Call 888-910-4367. 888-910-4367. The first aid stick, only at hempusa.org.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Your turn is to plead my case. No orbit to send me into outer space. At my fingers, I'll be true with diamonds and gold. But that ain't gonna help me now. Trouble, it's trouble now. I'm trouble, y'all. I can turn my life down. I'm trouble.
Yeah, we're circling back to this final segment of this hour to Trouble. That would be Syria. What's the good, the bad, and the ugly of this thing? Congressman John Boehner, Speaker of the House Boehner, says, let's get everybody back. Let's vote on this. We need to have our say on what we're going to do here. We had former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, on, and he said they often can just do votes or do that kind of thing, obviously, by phone. So it's not an impossibility to do it that way. Doesn't have to necessarily mean that everybody comes back, but there is no talk of any kind of a vote of any kind. So here's the thing. What most likely happens here is the West strikes on Syria, and the outcomes are different in probably every single case. We know we're not going to see boots on the ground. I don't even know what would cause boots on the ground to happen, because this president would have approval ratings of like 10%. It would rival Congress's if he did right now today. I guarantee it. I can make that big, bad, bold prediction, because nobody wants to see that. So we know that's not going to happen. But most likely it's the missile scenario that we have talked about over and over and over again, and when we were going to strike and what's going to happen and that kind of stuff. So two things. Supposedly, and this is just a wild rumor, and one I was trying to even track down today through somebody at the Pentagon, but there are reports that Assad, that Bashar Assad, is fleeing Syria, that he has left Syria. Well, if he leaves Syria, there's still the fighting, there's still a civil war, and there is the possibility of that civil war, that violence, springing and spilling into other countries, over into other countries. Does that make sense? Over into. And if that's the outcome, oh, that's disastrous. You know, Israel certainly wants no part of that. Jordan would be right there, really. The other thing is there could be an attack on oil wells. And this is something that would be a Saddam Hussein move. So that's not something that couldn't happen. It's happened before. Remember, Hussein ordered Iraq's military to set fire to like 600 oil wells in Kuwait before retreating during the Gulf War, if you go back to the early 90s. So Syria could decide, we got nothing to lose, who cares, light them up. That could happen. Economically, pretty disastrous there. And there are a bunch of different places that he could target. One could be a Turkish port. Sayan is what it's the name of it. It's just 3 hours from the Syrian border. If you're, you know, by land, that's how far it is, right? So there's a lot of natural gas there. A lot of Iraq's natural gas goes through that port, and they could attack there. There's also a natural gas pipeline. Ah, pipelines. That big artery is very close to the Syrian border. It's been attacked 30 times already in 2013, so that's already thought of. They could just take it out more. And there's been lots of damage on the pipeline that can make even more, much more serious damage. And it would be impossible to have blowback on that. The other thing is, in general, to look at any of the vulnerable areas where there are oil supplies coming in and out. The problem is, I don't think Assad has the horses for that. That doesn't seem as though that's the case. And the more likely scenario, besides let's set everything on fire connected to oil that we can find, is instead let's attack, let's make sure we get as much collateral damage as possible, especially if the Americans are telling us when they're going to strike. And let's make sure we try to provide that scenario for them. And then that's what people will talk about. Oh, there was collateral damage from the missiles that were lobbed, even though they were supposedly targeted to certain areas. And unfortunately, they hit the wrong targets. That's also not predictable and easy to necessarily do, even when you have the information. What is also happening is the fact that you had Russia and China who said, have fun, see ya, we want no parts of this. And you heard Luke Vargas in the top of the show, or if you just tuned in now, Luke Vargas reporting from the UN side of it. They're not part of this process. China and Russia are out on this. They don't want to vote. They have no vote in it. They walk out of the room. They're not part of the deal. The backup on this thing is shrinking. It's shrinking. And the relationship with Putin, as we know, is practically kaput. So Russia and China walk out of the UN meeting. The president speaks during the day and declares that we can't stand for this, we won't stand for this, but still doesn't do anything because there is a wait time for the UN weapons inspectors until there is a decisive report in the next couple of days. Maybe happens into the weekend. I mean, who knows? Regardless, once that happens, then the strikes. Those who claim to have survived the chemical weapons attack say it was an horrific scene, an unbelievable scene. People that were lucky that had masks on didn't obviously die from the chemical weapons attacks, but people near them did. And they were shocked at what they saw happen to the people. I mean, they literally were disintegrating inside, for lack of a better way to describe it. I can't imagine seeing that. the United States, even though the UN is still, the weapons inspectors are still there, they're concluding, or our nation is concluding, yep, chemical weapons, we know it, okay, we're ready, and we're ready to strike against Bashar al-Assad's military. The president, as we talked about earlier, was on the PBS NewsHour. It was at the end of the day. And as I said, Russia and China both said, we don't want any parts of this. They left the UN Security Council meeting because they don't want to be part of any kind of a resolution to use force against Syria. Weapons inspectors are still assessing officially whether chemical weapons have been used. President Obama said, we don't believe that given the delivery systems using rockets, the opposition could have carried out these attacks. We have concluded that the Syrian government carried out the attacks. So there has to be consequences. But the decision on what the consequence is hasn't been made yet. I'm worried if I'm Turkey, I'm worried if I'm Iraq, I'm worried in any border area. Because you look at Damascus and you look at a map and you see some of the spots that are so close. Then, of course, you have Egypt and Cairo right there in the hornet's nest, and they have their own problems. But this is where Assad's forces went in the Damascus suburb last week. And that's what triggered everything that's been happening since then. I mean, this is a two-year-old war. The people who survived swear up and down it was chemical weapons. It was a horrible scene in this town outside of Damascus. They woke people up and told them to put masks on, so some people survived and some people didn't survive. They sorted it out. So this has jolted the world into action or not to react. Let them sort it out. It's civil war. It's a nasty piece of business. Or jump in. You got to do something when it's chemical weapons. It's the red line debate. Red line debate. And I would not be stunned if Assad was fleeing. We've certainly seen that act before, haven't we? You want to be a part of the show? You can do that by sending us an email, americatonight.net. You can also hook up with us on Facebook and Twitter that way as well. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.